Greetings, growers. It's Jordan River. I got more Growcast for you today. One of your favorite guests, Mary Beth Sanchez, she's talking about growing cannabis. Well, she talks about all sorts of specific things usually, but this time we're talking about actually growing styles, how she does it. You know, the specifics when it comes to cannabis growing, not just her usual IPM talk. And it's a very interesting approach for a very good episode. Quick reminder. For those who were part of GrowPass, I have to say this at the beginning. GrowPass is our old membership program. We're now live at patreon.com/growcast. If you haven't made that transition, I urge you to do that now. We're doing a little promo. If you're in the USA and you are a GrowPass member, you get a free 5-pack of GrowCast Seed Co. seeds. Just go to Patreon. I'll still leave that offer open throughout February. I want to make sure that everybody heard about it because we still had people writing us. They were just unplugged for, you know, a couple of weeks, which is good for your health. And so I wanted to throw that reminder out here. Go to the new membership if you're part of GrowPass. If you were part of GrowPass, get your free seeds. And if you weren't part of GrowPass, go and check it out anyways, because we got GrowCast Seed Co. seeds for members at growcastpodcast.com/membership or patreon.com/growcast. The new membership is dope, and we're going to have some members-only genetics and some really cool stuff there. So go and check it out, everybody. Okay, we're going to jump in with Mary Beth. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. And enjoy the show. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to GrowCast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in again today. Before we get started, I urge you to share the show. Spread GrowCast. Tell a grower. Tell a smoker. Spread the show. I appreciate it. Make sure you subscribe. Give us a good rating and review. It's how we grow. Oh, who do we have today? One of the most beloved GrowCast team members. Also up in the Slack chat, solving everybody's problems. That's right. She's there helping people. Patreon.com/growcast is where you can find access to the lovely Slack chat. And you'll see her there every day. Today's guest is Mary Beth Sanchez. What's up, Mary Beth?
Howdy do. Boy, I love your introductions.
It's
you're
my pleasure.
Wonderful. Thank
you're
you.
One of my
Thank
favorite
you
guests.
Very much.
And I mean, you're one of my favorite team members, and you know, we just get along so well. And you're slowly teaching me your ways. I'm picking up.
Well,
on
I'm
this
noticing
and that.
You're catching them usually before I do, and you're getting it right. So congratulations, young man.
I'm trying.
You get a star. You get a whole row of stars. So
I appreciate it. I appreciate it, Mary Beth. It's funny because today's episode is a little bit different. Mary Beth is such a fountain of knowledge when it comes to things like regenerative agriculture and IPM. But I realized that we've never really dug too far into growing styles just for the good old cannabis plant, you know, like specific, you know, topping versus LST or supporting or all this fun stuff. So Mary Beth, can we talk about your cannabis growing history today?
Hell sure. Why not?
I would love it because I know this is going to lead down some good paths. And people are interested in this. And then maybe we'll give some tips and tricks, you know, for maybe the beginner listeners as well. So let's dive in. So first of all, I know this isn't on the list, but I have to ask you. You are new to autoflowers, right? Aren't you historically a photoperiod grower?
Yeah. So I've been having fun experimenting with it. I just did my first two recently, and thanks to it. Wonderful human whose name will need not mention, I've been enjoying that experimenting. And the thing is, it's kind of fun because I've read a lot about it before I started doing it. So I thought it would be really fun to just try different methods and see what works. Because basically, with autoflowers, the teaching is kind of leave them alone and let them do their thing. But you know, well, what happens if I do this, or what if I don't do this, or it. It was kind of neat, especially I really liked that anvil seed. It's got a nice terpene. I mean, even with my reduced ability to smell and taste right now, I can still smell nice terpene when I go put my nose in that.
Good. Yeah. I know there's a couple different phenos. Oh, I know. Beautiful flower. I think anvil is the prettiest strain that I've ever. Yeah, I think it's the prettiest strain I've ever grown.
Pretty. It's a very pretty flower.
Mine came out very piney. This one's very as high in piney, but I'm excited to smoke it. It's drying right now. Great yielder. Absolutely stoked on that. So were you, since you're in Northern California, were you kind of getting genetics locally when you were first getting started and just over the course of your career rather?
Normally, yeah. For my normal, we do outdoor grows every summer and I would get from people that I know here in town cloning. And so I know that, you know, their quality of their material was going to be good. And so that's worked out for me so far. But of course, even though it is somebody I know, I still go and completely drench each and every newcomer to the garden with my magical Dr. Symes or something, whatever you use, just be sure that you are, you know, before you put these things out with the rest of your garden, that you give them that chance to completely eliminate any bugs that you might have, you know, regardless of what product you want to use to do that. But just do something to make sure that they really start off as clean as possible, you know, without doing something that will kill them. I have sprayed Dr. Symes too strong on young plants and they lost all their leaves. And it looked awful. You thought, oh my God, what have I done? But then right away, the new leaves start popping back and everything that comes back is all clean and lovely. So it was like, okay, well, I learned not to spray so hard on the young leaves, but I did have clean plants when I started that grow.
Well, there you go. Better
I do to have like that than to. Pests. Yeah. I was pleased to see that, you know, most cannabis plants are so resilient that even if you do something crazy like that, as long as you haven't killed the plant, but, you know, I did fry the leaves off. They all curled up and went, whoop, I don't want to live here anymore.
Yeah, I've seen that happen, but it normally doesn't happen unless
I overdose.
Yeah, you can't overdose.
I was just getting real enthusiastic because I thought, okay, well, you know, recently plagues had been going around the neighborhood. So you just, around here, you've got to really be proactive. And the only time you ever screw up is, God forbid, you miss a couple weeks. Because, oh my God, next thing you know, something's going to start showing and you're going to say, how did that happen? Well, remember when you left town and somebody didn't water?
Yep, 100%.
Oh, things like that. A stressed out plant is so attractive to insects. And if you're in an outdoor environment, you know, it's from far and wide, they can tell that somebody over there is ready to die. And I need to help with that process.
They know how to target. Yeah. That's exactly right. But getting back to that early stage, I know I was in the clone game too out west because it's just so strong. But I know you've been popping seeds too. When you pop seeds, simple paper towel method, do you do any soaks? I know some people like to soak in amazing Dr. Symes.
Yeah, we do that too. And I do, you know, put some on the paper towel as well, you know, same stuff. But, you know, you can do it with or without that. It'll work in various ways. The worst problem I'm having with seeds is so often seeds are not as mature as you wish they were. And they just are not as good at popping when they're not really mature. I don't know if you've ever grown seeds yourself, but you can get some nice fat seeds and you know they're going to germinate 100% of the time real easy. I mean, you see them on the plants on Instagram and things. People will post a picture of like germinating right on the flower, hasn't even been harvested yet because it's just so much humidity there. You know, with obviously very little effort and very little moisture, just what was in the air. It's like, yeah, they should be more mature, I think, than they often are in a commercial setting. Unfortunately, I think sometimes people are harvesting too soon.
That's interesting. And we had the great Brett Anderson from Heart and Soil say the same thing about sizes of seeds how he likes the strains that have these big fat seeds. And definitely when I was, when I find like some, you know, self seeds in a bud, some of them look very immature. They're not even dark yet and they're very small. And you're right.
Yeah. Especially the little pale.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you're in trouble. But some of them, even though they're dark, they're like, you know, little pencil points. They're really just not the ones that you would be picking out if you were picking out all the seeds on that plant, more than likely. You know what I mean? But they do need to mature like everything else. So hopefully more seed growers will start to give us better seeds. That will be nice.
I've
gotten seeds from various people in life. And, you know, the only really big fat seeds I ever got were just from like my own, you know, weed that had seeds in it.
Oh, wow.
Like, especially back in the day when you used to get the old brick weed. Oh, my God, that was nothing but seeds. But they were big, fat, you know, nice, zebra stripey. Just dropped them. Wherever you dropped them, they'd pop. They just drop and walk away while you were cleaning them up to roll a joint. And you come back later and little sprouts are there, you know, with no effort. You decide if you want to let that plant stay or not.
Brickweed did have great, big, beautiful seeds in it.
Seeds.
I was so mad at them. What was I thinking?
The bigger the better because they rolled.
I should have fucking...
Those little flat ones didn't roll as well as the big fat ones.
I should have fucking put one of those in the ground, stupid. What were you thinking?
I was so mad at the seeds. I used to like to save them. You know, I have always had my farmer's fantasies, right?
Nice.
To grow.
But honestly, anytime I've picked up seeds from, you know, I've been lucky to have these breeders on to Breeder Feature, and they'll send me a gift bag, and I like to give those out to members. I like to give those out to, you know, team members, but I like to pop them
myself.
You're
a generous man.
Hey, I'm greedy generous because I like to pop them myself. I got to be honest though, I've never had a problem with germination rates with just the simple paper towel method. I think a lot of people maybe do a little too much, and I specifically by too much, I mean I see people doing a little too much heat. They'll put it on a heat mat. They'll try to get it in a really warm space. And kind of going back to what you said about the seeds germinating inside buds, there's not a ton of, I mean, I guess if it's a high bud, then it's probably getting warmth from the light or the sun.
Yeah.
But,
oh yeah. It,
but I mean, it's
like
not
an indoor situation.
Here's what I do. Paper towel, more wet than usual. Like the past few times I've popped, I like to make it pretty nice and saturated, roll it up inside a Ziploc bag. I always leave some air in the Ziploc bag. I put it between two saucers and I put it on my kitchen counter. There's no heater nearby. It's not on top of an Xbox. Some people say
it's not ridiculously
console.
Cold.
But it's also not in my basement. That's exactly right. I think that maybe some people put it on a heat mat and the heat is a little excessive. And sometimes that heat dries the paper towel.
Well, maybe cook the little seed in there a little bit
or just
more
too
than
hot.
I thought.
That's also true. And so I do just want to put that out there as a general piece of advice. Now, one piece of advice that I've never tried but heard works, tried and true, is scuffing. Just scuffing the seed.
Oh, yeah.
Have you tried that?
Yeah, I've heard of it. I've also failed with that. I had some seeds that were, I won, and I had tried to just do everything with them, all the tricks I know, scarification, stratification, soaking everything, soaking various substances. And I gave up at a certain point. I'm like, these things are not going to open. But like I said, they were these tiny, hard black dots that didn't look like they were anywhere near ready to open. You know, like they were not mature enough when they were harvested, as far as I'm concerned, in my humble opinion. Either that or just water doesn't work where I live. I don't know. I wasn't doing anything different than in past history. So I don't get
I think there
sometimes
is a point of no return, especially old seeds.
Yeah, it could well be. And some of them I've been able to get them to a sprout, but then go nowhere. Like the first little toe, I call it the toe, when you just a little teeny bit of the first root comes out. But then it nothing else. It just stops right there. That's it. And like, well, come on. Aren't you coming the rest of the way? What's that? And how long I wait doesn't matter. It's not going anywhere. Oh, crap. And I got another one that would went as far as like the second set of leaves. And it took a long time to do that. But it did that. And then it just fell over. And I went, what the hell? I know I didn't overwater that. I barely got watered.
Well,
it was such a tiny little thing. Well, and so I said, well, not all seeds are equal. And
exactly.
Unfortunately, what am I going to do? Sometimes you can't win them all. I'm going to keep trying, though.
Especially from seed,
I've
noticed
succeeded.
That.
Yeah,
succeeded. Team member Doc Kallick said, you know, these things, after all, they are living organisms, right? We expect them to perform like robots sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And they are just, you wouldn't expect a human to grow. We're not surprised when a human has some sort of difference or abnormality or defect or whatever it may be. But when it happens to plants, like, what's going on here? It is a living organism after all. Yeah. We'll be right back with Mary Beth, but before that, gotta give love to The Foop, fish-based organic nutrient line. You can go to foopcanna.com or thefoop.com, we'll take you there as well. And you can get 10% off with code GROWCAST one time and 5% off with code GROWCAST forever. That's GROWCAST, the numeral 4, EVA, GROWCAST forever, at thefoop.com. Fully certified organic. Everything your plant needs. It's all based on fish. And boy, this stuff is powerful, man. I really, really enjoyed it. Really pumps up your plants. It's rich stuff. It's powerful stuff. And they've got the four-part with a sweetener, too. Pretty simple line, but a powerful line. And like I said, certified organic. You're not going to see that a lot. It's powerful, powerful stuff. Really brings out an excellent flavor in your plants. I almost said in your pants. In your plants. And I'm really, really super happy with how it turned out. Built-in microbes, which is always useful. Never have enough microbes. And check out their cloning gel, which works very, very well. Really, really impressed with the efficacy of the Foop cloning gel. TheFoop.com, code GROWCAST the first time for 10% off. GROWCAST forever after that for 5% off. GROWCAST, the number 4, EVA. All right, everybody, let's get back to Mary Beth. As we move into the veg stage, Obviously, you are growing in a regenerative agriculture type soil. Obviously, you're using IPM, natural IPM. Have you? I don't want to get off on a whole thing here, but things like
I'm Zymes, religious about planting with the mycorrhiza fungus.
That's of course. How could I brush over that?
I would never give up, no matter what, whether you're planting a seed or planting a sprout or a little tiny plant. You just really have to coat. That's thing that I will never not do. And I no longer scatter it in the soil. I only put it around the root ball because I've been taught that the roots in the soil, less than a 50% chance that they'll actually encounter that bit that you've scattered in there. So they'll definitely encounter it when you pack it around the root ball. They can't miss it.
Okay,
so
like
you
that.
Will have a whole lot more success that way and not be wasting all your mycorrhiza fungus.
You're not leaving it up to chance. That's a good point.
No. And every time I transplant, if I have to transplant more than once, I'll use it again, even though I already used it before, because, you know, like you say, it can't hurt to add some more.
Sure.
It doesn't hurt anything.
We of course, love Dynomyco, which you said tested high. So
it
I'm
is
glad
good.
Give them a quick shout out. Love those guys. Mm-hmm. But really, any Myco will do. And there's even Liquid Myco. We love Plant Success. I think their line is called, or their liquid is called Orca. So some really good options there. What are you doing We're pretty familiar with your IPM. We're pretty familiar with your soil biology. You're a fan of humic acids and these things. What do you do as far as training, though? Do you prefer to low stress train, top? What do you do?
Well, you know, when I was growing up, I used to raise a lot of house plants, and we were always taught with the house plants, you know, the way to get them big and bushy is pinch, pinch, pinch. So you pinch all the ends, and then you get two branches out of each one branch, right?
Sure.
And all the lateral growth starts growing. So I'm kind of more familiar with that old get the lateral growth growing by the pinching. But when I was growing up, my brother used to what was called a sea of green then, because there was no screen involved. It was just flat on the ground, but he would take his plant, and because had to be very stealthful back in those days. You didn't want anything shown over the fence in those days. So everything from its infancy, you know, when the plant is still bendable, is pinned to the ground, you know, not hard to the ground, but pinned to the ground so that nothing grows up high, you know, higher than a couple of feet with the buds. And all the buds come out kind of equally on the plant. And that's what, when I first discovered that, was way back then when he showed me how his, you know, every bud was a top bud right. Just by laying the plant flat. And I've seen it in nature as well and been really impressed where, you know, nobody made the effort to knock over this sunflower growing on the side of the road, but it was growing horizontally because at some point in its life, it was a wind or a wild animal or whatever had knocked it over. But at the point where it hadn't quite opened its flowers or developed its flowers so that when all the flowers on it were blooming, they were all equally big and beautiful. There wasn't like one big one at the top and a bunch of little ones below, you know, like you normally see. Because so you could see there too how the hormones and growth things, they're all distributed, you know, without that gravitational effect because the thing's now horizontal. And I've noticed it on the cannabis as well, that even if you're just as long as you can pull that growing tip down below the rest of the flowers on the same branch or the buds on the same branch, then they should start to grow as if they were the top bud. And everybody can be a top bud.
Yes, that's exactly right.
The more, the merrier.
Yeah, that the top point of the plant, the apical point or whatever it's called. Yeah. Super fascinating. And that's a good point. It doesn't matter how that happens. Do you ever do any high stress? Like you talk about pinching, but you mean pinching off, like a topping method.
Yeah.
Some people do a pinch where they don't sever it. They just kind of bust the stem. They bust that herd or whatever.
Yeah.
And it really grows back strong. Do you like that high stress, or do you try not to put your plants under that stress and therefore set them back?
I don't necessarily practice it intentionally, but I've watched it done and I don't see any problem with it. I know that the plants seem to react really well, but it's one of those things you don't want to advise a beginner to do. You want to get your hang of, you know, doing the easier methods first, but that is really nice to see when somebody's done it really well.
Good point.
And the impressiveness of their, what's kind of like bonsai, you know, look what 100%. You're doing when you grow bonsai, how you have to keep everything a really restricted size and you have to really shape its growth with wires and all kinds of things that I am getting off on looking at those people's cannabis bonsais. Have you seen these on Instagram?
I'm trying to get one of those guys on the show. They are rather beautiful.
They are. And I'm thinking, I got a bunch of old funky seeds of mixed up stuff that I don't even know, you know, what you would call it at this point, because I don't even remember the lineage anymore. And I thought, oh, those would be fun to grow bonsais with, just, you know, to have the, who doesn't like an ornamental plant with something beautiful that it gives you at the end of its life?
Well, we're so focused on everything except for every other flower. It's about visuals. But on cannabis, it's about everything but visuals. And I feel like the people who are in the cannabis art space are really effing smart right now. That is such a powerful niche to be in. And then specifically with the actual plant art, like the cannabonsai stuff, it's some of the most beautiful stuff I've ever seen. The way there was one that was growing over a rock with exposed roots,
yes,
where it had those hard roots and it was dropping down into the, and someone had taken a picture and it went viral, of course, because it's just like, holy I don't know. I just think that people who think outside the box like that, they're really creating value and they're going to do something special. So yeah, that's a really good point. And that's all just shaping the plant, controlling the plant specifically.
Right, and boy, you better not overfeed that puppy.
Yeah, that too, right?
You're definitely restricting its diet too.
I think I can.
You got to keep them healthy though, you know.
I can grow a pretty good harvest, but I'm not sure I could pull off something like that first try. Like, that seems like a special type of skill.
But very advanced.
it's really cool, man. But yeah, I wanted to talk about a similar type of plant forming that I've never tried personally. Really only heard of recently, although it's been around for a while. Funny how that works, right? You come across stuff like sometimes. Have you ever heard of this term backbudding? It's a plant training style that you do in flower, and it's really simple. Basically, your colas go up into a pointy tip, and the idea is if you snip just a little bit of that top tip while the plant is still bulking, it redirects the energy down and fattens it up and apparently increases the weight. I don't know if it's a tried and true method, if it's a little bit more bro science-y. We toy around with bro science here at Growcast. Have you tried it?
I have never tried it. I'm interested in learning more about that. But you know, anytime that you're cut off the tip, you're going to redirect the energy to the lateral stuff. So yeah, it kind of makes sense. Now, are they repositioning it, or are they still leaving it up in the air, but just kind of pinching the tip of the bud?
Yeah, just the very, very tip you snip. And there was the one person who sent it to me, there was some other crop where they employ a strategy like this. And so that's kind of the bro science evidence for it, is like, hey, they do this on this other crop and it really works. And people who try it, I've seen a couple people that really enjoy it. So I'm going to check out this back budding thing, and I'll talk to you. Yeah, I'm going to talk to a couple of different guests about this. But
yeah, well, let's experiment. You know, I love to experiment.
What's the worst it could do? That's the other thing about this particular one, is it doesn't seem like it could really do that much harm. Just try it on one cola, see what happens. But I always like to do multiple. Anytime I do something like that, I don't want to do it on just one strain. I need cuts of the same plant grown out, and then try it on one and don't try it on the other. Otherwise,
it's hard to do it if you don't have the same strain for each thing. I mean, how do you know it isn't genetic specific, something you're looking at?
100%. Anyways, I had to bring that up. What else do we have on the list here?
Yay.
Supporting.
Lights and things?
Lights and things?
Yeah, support systems.
Okay, let's do supporting, and then, we'll talk about, like, because I know you're an outdoor grower, but I'd like to talk to you about, like, equipment, because I know you also work in a garden store. But let's do supporting first. Are you a trellisser? Or let's just say, if you were in an indoor scenario, are you a staker? What do you think?
Well, you know, what I hate about trellis netting is the harvest period. It's like, then you got to deal with that net all over your plants. You got to cut it up or cut it off. Or I like to hang the whole plant upside down, so I don't want to have that net in there.
What?
And I then having to take it off without wrecking or you know, tearing stuff apart is like, ugh, it's so tedious.
I love
the way they look when they're growing. They really look good. I like the way that the buds come out, but the harvesting parts where I start, my method gets all messed up. So what I kind of tried, like the last things I was doing, I just kind of tried tying them down, which I realized as I've been doing it, you know, ways I could have done that better. Because I was just, you know, doing it the hillbilly way, which
works
too.
You know? I was going to say, whatever you get,
tie it down, make that thing stay. Every day you go in and check it. And, you know, they're trying to stand up again. Oh, no, you're not. Come back down here. I'll get another string, pull it down some more, you know, without breaking it. I'm trying to pull it without breaking it. But, you know, I've seen plants so many times where you literally break the stem and it still doesn't stop it from growing. So I never give up on them until they actually literally are wilting and, you know, showing me they are, have no intention of coming back to life. But the breaking isn't always the end of the world, you know. And I've seen a lot of those pictures show a high degree of stress and bending going on, you know, weird, twisty stuff. Oh, I saw one person whose young plants were so strung out and skinny, he tied them in knots and then that strengthened them up.
I think I saw
so
that
they
picture
grew
too.
In a knot. Yeah. So
that's great. I love that. Creative. Hold on a second though. First of all, yes, you're right. Whatever works, you know, that's the most important thing. But you said something I got to dig in here. You cut the whole plant and hang entire plants upside down. I never like poo-pooed it. In fact, I was just answering a question. You can go back in the Slack and check me on this. But I would say, doesn't that add a lot to the drying time? There's a lot of moisture in that main stem. Do you do a heavy starve before that? Just talk to, that's not super usual to hang a whole plant.
Well, this is how I was taught, the old-fashioned curing process. Because, yeah, you want to get every bit of those juices down to the buds. And then you're helping with gravity by turning it upside down and letting any possible bit of life flow into those buds before you cut them off. And you don't cut anything off until, except the big leaves, of course. You don't cut anything off until you get a branch the thickness of a normal pencil to snap for you. And then you go ahead and start cutting the branches and taking the things and trimming them off, you know, nice and tight. And, you know, checking your moisture that way. But that way I felt like I got my absolute maximum potency that I could get out of them. And I've always gotten really good feedback from the people who enjoyed my end products. So that always made me feel like, well, hey, I must be doing something right, because they really are, you know, giving me some really positive feedback and telling me I've got to get more of this and more of that and more of the okay, well, thank you. Or telling me they can't find anything in a dispensary as good as the stuff I'm just giving them. And so, okay, well, that made me feel good. And, you know, so I couldn't be that bad. But it is, like you say, much more time consuming. You can't be in a hurry. Oh, boy, I've seen people just whip that stuff as fast as they can off the plant and, you know, off of the branches and get it dried and get it packed and get it out as fast as they can. I mean, that's kind of sad, but you get a lot of tasteless or less than tasty stuff that way.
It really does. You know, I mean,
there
some
is something
people,
about the cure time. Yeah.
Yeah. Some of these people are so profit minded. And you know what? In the black market, I don't even blame them. They're filling a service. This stuff is going east. Like, you know what I mean? I kind of hate on the legal guys who are in it for the money and don't care about the plant. But the guys, they're kind of doing God's work. As long as they're not using pesticides, like, they're doing what they got to do. Yeah. But you're right. I've literally seen these guys do this, Mary Beth, in Humble, is they'll add heaters to their grow to increase the temperature to get it to dry just a couple days earlier so it can get packed up and put on a truck and sent out east. It's a freaking business to them. And it never tastes as good as a quality dried and cured one. But every day is them losing money. So,
yeah,
it's interesting.
But I do stop feeding and watering for, I try to go for somewhere between 1 and 2 weeks before I harvest. So like, I know I'm going to probably harvest at X date. I will just quit watering. Just if the plants start looking saggy, well, just cut off some leaves because they, you know, they're going to be hanging pretty soon. And that
that's
way
a
I
long
get rid
starve.
Of some of the extra, yeah, it is. But it does get those turkeys going because the
love
whole plant
that.
Starts wondering what's up. And so any little production that it still has left, it ramps up the best it can. And, you know, like I said, I was taught that gives you the sticky stuff, you know, increases your stress. Once again, last minute stress.
Well, drought stress is one of the few things that's actually... Yeah. Well, drought stress is one of the actually the few things that has been studied. I think there's going to be more studies on more stressors, and I think a lot of them are going to have a marginal impact. That's definitely one I get behind, but I'll do it for, you know, a couple of days extra to really get it dried out. 7 to 14 days. I love that. That's an extra long starve. And I knew that you were going to have some.
Well, it is outdoors too. Now that might be different for people indoors. I haven't done indoors so much. Well, now the last, those two little autumn flowers that I recently did indoors, I did cut them off for probably a week before I pulled them.
Nice.
They're really so small, they're easy to hang upside down. When you have some of those bigger outdoor plants, you need a couple people to hang them upside down.
Oh, holy cow, you need a big space.
Oh, my goodness. I have a friend in Oregon. He grows these things that are like 14 foot tall. And I'm thinking, there's no way he could hang them upside down. He'd have to cut his plants up to do his harvesting. But I don't have that issue. I'm not growing that particular strain. I don't want that much work. This is just for my personal use. I don't want to work that hard.
Oh my God. That's
hilarious. One of his plants is more than my entire annual harvest.
That's exactly right. Those same black market people I was thinking of earlier, I ended up selling them one of my teens of lemon wreck from my indoor garden. And they took it up on the hill up in NorCal. And they had me up there to take a look at it when it had just entered flower. And actually when it had finished stretching. The thing was 14 feet tall, like you said. It was like, I was like, oh my God, that's the same genetic. Yeah. It was just, they grew it in an outdoor setting. We were both using synthetics at the time. And it just got huge in this outdoor. I remember selling it to him as like the stretched out clone. So funny. So funny. Where were we? I'm stoned. I love talking to you though, Mary Beth. We're actually close to the top of the hour here and I don't want to eat up your whole day. We have to talk equipment. I don't want to say, I want to get your like recommendations on any gear that strikes your eye right now that you like. I don't want to limit you to a budget necessarily. I was going to say, let's say you have infinite money, but that kind of eliminates the budget stuff too. I don't know. Let me just put it this way. What do you like as far as lighting companies? It's probably stuff that you have in your nursery. I don't know if you guys carry things like grow tents. Like what would you gear up with if you were starting?
Well, you know, if I had to do a thing in a closet, I would want one of those grow tents, but I've never had to have that kind of situation. Fortunately, I've either been outdoors or in a room specifically, you know, allowed
just
to do
growing
that.
In a room, that West Coast style, baby.
Right, yeah, you got white walls. It's okay. It'll work.
Absolutely.
But I like to just, you know, make sure that your ventilation and everything is good. Your temperature's going to hold, and all that. You're not getting weird drafts and things like that, and it'll be good. But the lighting, I would like really energy efficient lighting just because power bills are real and
especially in California, you know,
energy savings are real. Yeah, but more so for the energy bills, because especially out here, well, you know, we actually got a notice of some kind, something in the paper where they were talking about our utility company in this county is kind of reaching its capacity for what it can output because people want to come and grow here and they're putting up his big greenhouse operations and they can only just, you know, give them so much electricity and they're kind of reaching their limit of how many more of these things can we put up because how are we going to be able to power them? Plus people want to come and mine Bitcoin, which is also extremely energy sucking. And
that's totally crazy. Now wait a second, when you say the power company, is it not the same Pacific Gas and Electric as the rest of California?
No, you see, we're special and that's why people want to come up here, because we have a way better electric rate than most of the state. And we're in the beautiful woods, so who wouldn't want to live in the beautiful woods? Well, what drives me nuts is people who want to live in the beautiful woods come and just cut the trees down right away. I'm like, gosh, because I need the sunshine on my why didn't you go to the valley? We have no trees.
Are you sure you want to be saying this over Growcast? People are gonna be moving there. This is you're right, you are that does make you special, because I know just how crappy PG&E is. So interesting. I didn't know that about your little neck of Trinity up there. Very interesting.
It used to be the property cheap, but not anymore. They got discovered like back in 2008, I think, when we had big fires and people from all over the world came to fight the fires. And the news started to spread. They put news in newspapers from New York to L.A., talking about cheap land and everybody growing pot. And I'm like, oh my God. Next thing you know, the floodgates opened. People were buying property sight unseen from all over the world and just moving here. All of a sudden, we went from being this redneck, white ass community to we got Bulgarians, we got Asians, we got Mexicans, we got everything, you name it. We got them from England, from France, from Canada. And they're like, wow, we used to sit there and go, look at that license plate from Hawaii. Well, you know, they didn't drive it over here.
Would you look at that? Well, welcome. Yeah. You know what? That's so hilarious. I know how that goes, man. Well, it's funny because those articles, they really will spark a real wave. So,
well, it's all over now. Okay. It's too late.
Go home. It's too late. Well, I'll tell you, I don't want to get off on a whole thing here, but the next one is a bunch of Californians are moving to Texas right now. And we have a lot of Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got a lot of Texas. We have a lot of Texas members who are growing.
Universally hate California. Oh my God. Everywhere you go, every state I go to, it's like, God, if you have a California driver's license, people are looking at you nasty. Like, don't even think about moving here.
Can I tell you why, though? It's not, I actually like Californians, but there's really bad drivers from California. The reason they're probably like looking at you about,
I know, we live with them.
God, you guys drive crazy.
They're
out
the
there.
Worst.
They're the worst. So that's probably what that is. But what I was going to say is lots of Texas growers who are, I'm sure, are growing all hemp compliant. You know what I mean? Of course, all those pictures they post of the dank. I mean, sure. I'm sure that it's hemp compliant. But they, if for instance, the laws did pass in Texas, maybe a little bit of the culture being dragged out there by California, amplifying some of the culture that's there already in cities like Austin. Maybe there's a future for the cannabis industry in Texas. They're already big on hemp. I don't know, man. It's just interesting.
Well, you know, they're big migrations. On free spirits too. And, you know,
yes.
People get in their way. So eventually if
they're
the right
similar. That's true. They're kind of similar in a lot of ways. They're on the opposite sides of the aisle because everybody's been divided in our country.
So that's a libertarian
that's
issue.
A
yeah,
thing.
That spreads but both sides of the
there
aisle.
There you go. A libertarian a issue. Just usually they focus on different things, but I think we're all evolving together. And anyways, this was a nice little this is a nice little discussion there at the end, Mary Beth.
All over the place.
I love the insight. You have this country charm to you that I just love.
How do you, darling?
But people don't realize that there's like, you think of California, you think of Hollywood, or you think of San Francisco.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But there's this whole you know,
the
all
woods
the farmland
are nice.
In the valley. And then up north, you guys in the woods, you mountain folks.
The true hillbillies. They call it the Ozarks of the West.
Is
our nickname.
I love the culture. So, anyways, Mary Beth, this was a really cool exploration. We didn't get to cover everything. I'm sure we'll do more. But thank you for spending this time with us.
They know a lot about me already. But let's plug the good stuff. Try to be ecologically friendly and all that kind of stuff, and be reasonable for God's sake.
Garden responsibly is the message Mary Beth wants to send.
Be good and keep gardening.
Come on and join us. Me and Mary Beth, we're helping out in the Plant Problems channel. Doc Calix is in there. Michael Travers is in there. We're helping people in there grow. You can find all that access at patreon.com/growcast. And can we look forward to a webinar soon, Mary Beth?
Oh, that would be fun.
Yes.
You know, we have a few favorite subjects and we can do that.
That's going to be great. And I'm doing a lot of new content like the webinars, like Growcast TV, and I'll be releasing some of those as teasers for free for you guys just so you can check it out. And I know once you see it, you're really going to want to jump into a membership. It's really great. And thank you, Mary Beth, for all you do for the members, for the listeners, and for the entire community. Appreciate you.
You're a blessing, Jordan. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. Seriously,
all right.
Thank you.
All right. We'll let you go, Mary Beth. I know you like to sign off, and I'll be texting you shortly.
You too.
Take care.
Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. There you go, everybody. I started talking like her at the end, at like a little bit of the Irish thing. There you go, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. What a great episode. We'll see you next time on Growcast, everybody. Be safe and grow smarter. That's our show for today. Thank you so much, everybody. Quick shout out to AC Infinity. They make the best fans in growing. Do you have a need to upgrade your fans? If you don't have AC Infinity, you definitely should. Check out acinfinity.com. Use code GROWCAST15 to save a whopping 15%. They also have sexy, sexy tents. They look so, so nice. They're so nice that they sell out very quickly. But if you can get your hands on them, use that code GROWCAST15, save 15%. And again, upgrade your fans. Their T-Series, their Smart Series. It's an upgrade either way, baby. Go and check it out. Best in the game, acinfinity.com, GROWCAST15. Thank you to Start to Finish Consulting. Start the number 2, finish 710 on Instagram. We love Michael Travers. He's hanging out, helping members in the Slack chat. He's a good guy. We'll be back on the show soon. Just want to shout him out, one of our partners. And that's all for today, everybody. I hope you're doing excellent in your garden. Hope you're staying safe, staying healthy out there, staying sane. Stay in your garden to stay sane, folks. That's the way to do it. We'll see you next time on Growcast, everybody. Take it easy.